Are you ready for the Word of God this morning? Amen. I'm ready to minister the Word of God. I think Lily Tomlin, she said this, the thing about the rat race is that if you win the race, you are still a rat. Amen. I'm looking forward to doing Success That Matters with the pastoral staff here. I'm believing God for at least 50 to 60 men out of this church to attend that. I think we're going to have an awesome time. $25 is really a small investment. If God speaks to you and your life changed just from one phrase, one line, it will be worth $25 of investment. Amen. Amen. Hey, this morning we're going to talk about the person of the Holy Spirit. Pastor Tim, we have embarked upon a wonderful series, Re-Energizing Your Life. And this is one of the ways that we're going to re-energize our life is coming in personal contact with the person of the Holy Spirit. Would you repeat after me and then I'll go into prayer. We need a fresh touch of the Holy Spirit.
We need a fresh touch of the Holy Spirit.
In this time
and
in this hour. We need His great and holy power. Touch us, Holy Spirit. Now, Father, in Jesus' name, with that declaration this morning, we thank you and we praise you that the Holy Spirit is present. We ask, oh God, for fresh revelation of who Jesus is through your Spirit. We ask for fresh revelation of what it means to be in your kingdom. We ask for fresh revelation of what it is to walk with Him and to talk with Him and to commune with Him. What it is to fellowship with the person of the Holy Spirit. We're asking for a fresh touch. And so we thank you and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. We find the scripture in John chapter 14 and verse 16. Jesus said this, "And I will pray the Father, and He will give you another helper that He may abide with you forever. The Spirit of Truth." Pastor Tim said something in this particular sermon. He said this, that the Holy Spirit is not optional. He is foundational. In the time in which we're living in, he's not an option. He is foundational. Amen. We need to know who He is. We want to come in contact with His person. We need to know who He is. But Jesus said He's called the Spirit of Truth. There are three attributes of a person, and we want to tap into His personhood this morning. Three attributes. First of all, a person must have intellect or intelligence. A person must have intellect or intelligence in order to be a person. There are some religions that will tell you that the Holy Spirit is not a person, but He's just an essence or He's a force, but we're going to qualify through the scriptures this morning that He is a person and He desires to fellowship with us. The Apostle Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 9, the Bible says, "But as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love Him." Check this out. Check out verse 10. "But God has revealed them." God did what? He has revealed them to us through His Spirit. For the Spirit searches some things, most things, many things. The Spirit searches all things. Yes, the deep things of God. The Spirit searches all things. He searches the deep things of God. In order for you to search the deep things of God, you have to be really intelligent. He's a very intelligent person. See, if it is hidden, He will reveal it. If we cannot find it, He will search it out. If we don't know it, He will teach us if we desire to be taught. Amen. The Spirit reveals, He searches that we may know what we have from God. Can you repeat that after me? Say, the Spirit reveals,
the Spirit reveals.
He searches
that we might know
what we have from God.
The
Spirit will reveal, He searches that we might know what we desire from God. Now, the thing about this, if you don't want to know it, don't ask the Holy Spirit. If you're in a relationship and you're kind of questioning, I don't know about him, I don't know about her. If you really don't know, if you really don't want to know what they're all about, do not ask the Holy Spirit, because he will tell you. And he will tell you the truth. Amen. If you don't want to know it, don't ask him. But if you do desire to know, you know, Lord, this guy, he looks pretty good, but I really don't know what his character about. If you are a Christian woman, pray and ask the Holy Spirit, is this the man for me? Should I be dating him? Should I be dating her? Ask the Holy Spirit. He'll tell you. He will reveal it. Amen. He will reveal it. He's a very intelligent person. Look at the book of, let's look at Acts chapter 13 and verse 2. We'll find here the church, they were ministering unto the Lord. It says, as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Spirit said, now separate to me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them. He's very intelligent. He is very intelligent. So a person must have intelligence or intellect in order to be qualified as a person. Secondly, a person must have a will. Somebody say a will. You must have a will in order to also be qualified as a person. You will find in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 11, the Apostle Paul, he talks about the gifts of the Spirit or the manifestations of the Spirit when the Holy Spirit is in the midst of the body. That word manifestation is a Greek word, just phanerosis, when he manifests himself. And there are nine gifts of the Spirit when he's in the midst of us. Those nine gifts, one is a word of wisdom, a word of knowledge, and discerning of spirits is what the Spirit knows. And then there's prophecy, different kinds of tongues, interpretation of tongues is what the Spirit says. And then there is faith, gifts of healings, and workings of miracles. It is what the Spirit does. So when he manifests himself, he will manifest himself in these nine different ways in the midst of the body. Now we'll find in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 11, the Apostle Paul wrote this, but one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as he what? As he wills. As a matter of fact, I believe he still desires to manifest that, those gifts in the body as he wills. We just have to open our hearts afresh and anew to him. Amen. We need a fresh encounter of the Holy Spirit. How many of us realize that just living in this world, I need a fresh encounter with his personhood? Man, I need a fresh encounter. I'm telling you, I need him. Amen. If he's not in the midst of us, we're just gathering together. We're not even having church if he don't show up. Amen. And if God don't show up, why should I show up to church if God doesn't show up in his church? We need the Holy Spirit to show up. Hello, somebody. Are you ready for him? He's waiting on us. We got to be ready. Somebody say ready. Oh, we got to be ready. But he desires to manifest that in the midst of the body. Amen. So he gives us those gifts, listen, as he wills. As he wills. If we are available, he will show up. Amen. Let's look at the book of Acts chapter 16. We're talking about the will of the Holy Spirit. The will of the Holy Spirit. It says, now when they had gone through Phrygia and the region of Galatia, they were forbidden, this is the Apostle Paul, by the Holy Spirit. Listen, they were forbidden by the Holy Spirit to preach the word in Asia. After they had come to Mysia, they tried to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit did not permit them. Have you ever been forbidden by the Holy Spirit to do something? Has he ever spoken to you? Has he ever forbidden you not to buy a particular thing, not to go a particular place, and you've disobeyed? A young Christian, and he tell you, you know what? You still got that club thing in you, and you say, you know what? I'm going to still go to the club just to see what it's going to be like. The Holy Spirit tell you, don't go to the club. You go to the club, and somebody breaks out fighting. Person gets stabbed right next to you, or they start shooting in the club. You get out of there by the skin of your teeth. You said, boy, Holy Spirit, I'll never do that again. I'll never do that again. Amen. But they were forbidden by the Holy Spirit to preach the gospel in Asia because perhaps there was some danger in Asia that they could not see, but he could see it. He's omnipresent. Amen. So when the Holy Spirit forbids you about a particular relationship, don't go there. Don't do it. Don't hook up with him. Don't hook up with her. Have we ever been forbidden by the Holy Spirit? Don't do it. Don't do it. Amen. We're talking about the will of the Holy Spirit. Young people, if you're in here, listen. And if you have godly parents or just good parents and they speak to you and they tell you not to go a particular place and forbid you to go, don't do it. Because usually when you break their word, something happens that shouldn't even happen because of your disobedience. Amen. So we're talking about the person of the Holy Spirit. He's very intelligent. He has a will. And then a person must have emotions. Somebody say emotions, emotions, emotions. Amen. All of us have emotions. Amen. The Holy Spirit, he has emotions as well. We see here in the book of Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 30. The Bible says, and do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Pastor Tim talked about that last week. Grieving the Holy Spirit. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit. How do we grieve the Holy Spirit? Real simple. Just simply disobedience. Disobedience. That's how we grieve the Holy Spirit. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit. Isaiah wrote in Isaiah chapter 63 in verse 10, and it says, and they rebelled and grieved his spirit. That is the children of Israel. They rebelled and grieved his Holy Spirit. So he turned himself against them as an enemy, and he fought against them. They rebel. See, rebellion will grieve the Holy Spirit. You can be a Christian and be rebellious in your heart and rebellious in your spirit, and you will grieve the Holy Spirit. Not only does rebellion grieve him, rebellion grieves you. Have you ever been grieved by your rebellion? Rebellion grieves, man. It will grieve you. And so it grieves the Holy Spirit when we rebel. I remember the Lord was talking to me, and sometimes every now and then, do you ever have an independent spirit? Sometimes you want to rise up and do things your own way. I don't want to obey God. I just want to have a flesh party today. I want to be in my flesh. I want to be carnal. Leave me alone. And God spoke to me. He said, son, that thing has got to be broken from your life. It's got to be broken from your life. I'm not my own anymore. You're not your, if you're in the body of Christ, you're not your own either. The Bible says that we have been bought with a price. Amen. Therefore, we should glorify God in our bodies and in our spirits, which belongs unto God. I don't belong to me anymore. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's not grieve the Holy Spirit. And then, listen, let's read Romans chapter 15 and verse 30. So we can grieve him, but I love this scripture here. Paul wrote, now I beg you, brethren, through the Lord Jesus Christ and through the love of the Spirit, that you strive together with me in prayers to God for me. There's also, listen, the love of the Spirit. So he has emotions. He has a love for us. He has a love for us. What kind of love does the Holy Spirit has for us? It's a jealous kind of love. He wants all of us to belong to all of God. Amen. He's pursuing us. He's pursuing part-time lovers. There's a whole lot of Christians. There are some part-time lovers. Amen. In this house. I don't want to be a part-time lover. Amen. I don't want to be a part-time lover. I think Smokey Robinson said, I did you wrong. My heart went out to play. But in the game, I lost you. What a price to pay. Ooh, baby, baby. He's trying to be a part-time lover. I don't want to be a part-time lover. Amen. I tried being a part-time lover. It just doesn't work. Amen. God, he wants all of us. Amen. Heart, mind, and soul. Amen. We should love the Lord our God with all of our heart, mind, soul, everything within us. We got to love him. Amen. Because if we don't love him, the places that he does not occupy in our hearts, the enemy, he'll set up camp there. And when God begins to move, we can't move with him because there's a part-time lover in the house. We need to drive the part-time lover out. Somebody say, drive the part-time lover out. Drive the part-time lover out. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory, glory, glory to God. He is such a person. You'll find in the book of Acts chapter 5 and verse 3, this is not in your notes. Also, the Holy Spirit can be lied to. Ananias and Sapphira, you read it, Acts chapter 5. They lied to the Holy Spirit. He can be lied to. Now, how many of us know we really can't lie to him? You can lie to your mama. And you can lie to your daddy. You can lie to your husband. And you can lie to your wife. But we cannot lie to the Holy Spirit. Somebody say, don't even try it. Don't even try it. We can't lie to the Holy Spirit. He can also be resisted. Acts chapter 7 and verse 51. He can be what? He can be resisted. See, there's a wind. There's a wind that's blowing in this house. See, we cannot change the direction of the wind. But what we need to do, we need to adjust ourselves to the wind that's blowing. We cannot change the direction of the wind that's blowing in this house. But we need to adjust ourselves. In essence, don't resist him. I want to stop murmuring. I want to stop complaining. I want to stop whining. I want to stop crying. I just want to adjust ourselves and go where the Holy Spirit is leading us. Hello, somebody. But we can resist him. You can be a born-again believer and resist him. But not without consequences. Let me move on. Amen. And he can also be blasphemed. He can also be blasphemed. You can read it in the book of Mark, chapter 3, verse 28 through 30. How do you blaspheme the Holy Spirit? We attribute what the Holy Spirit does and we give credit to the devil. Jesus, he cast out, there were some scribes and he cast out a demon. And they came up to Jesus and they said, you know what? You're casting out this demon by Beelzebub. Jesus said, man, you know what? He probably wanted to call them stupid, really. Now, if Satan casts out Satan, you know that his kingdom is going to come to an end. Every house that is set against itself, every house that is divided is going to fall. And he had to deal with him. He said, because you can talk about the Father, you'll be forgiven. He said, you can talk about me and I'll forgive you. He said, but don't you mess with the Holy Spirit. Because you will subject yourself to eternal condemnation. Amen. Somebody say, don't mess with the Holy Spirit. Amen. He wants to fellowship with us. Amen. Glory, glory to God. Let's talk about some of his actions. The actions of the Holy Spirit. The actions of the Holy Spirit. I love this. The actions of the Holy Spirit. Number one, he teaches us. He does what? He teaches us. Amen. If we're in the wrong, he will teach us what is right. Amen. If you're in the dark, he will teach you how to come out of the darkness and walk in the light. He will teach us everything that pertains unto the kingdom of God. He teaches us. Amen. Amen. John chapter 14 and verse 26. The Bible says, but the helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you what? He'll teach you what? Y'all help me out this morning. He'll teach you what? He'll teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I have said unto you. He'll bring to your remembrance all things. Now we have to remember this, that if you're not studying the word, if you're not reading the word, the Holy Spirit cannot bring to your remembrance what Jesus has spoken if you have not read the word. Amen. We have to read the word. We have to be students of the word in order for him to bring to remembrance what the Lord has spoken unto us. Amen. How many of us remember Michael McDonald? I love Michael McDonald. Well, he wrote a song called I Keep Forgetting. I'm not in love anymore.
Can you imagine him going over, his girlfriend's house, and he go over there, and he knocks on the door, and she looks at him. She said, "Michael, you know we ain't in love anymore." Now, if Michael McDonald, if he had the Holy Spirit and he was going over her house, the Holy Spirit would have said, "Hey, remember, Michael, that girl don't love you no more. Don't go over that." He didn't have the Holy Spirit because he said he keeps forgetting. Amen. But the Holy Spirit, he teaches us. Look at Nehemiah chapter 9 and verse 20. Nehemiah, he was given, he was just recalling all the things that God had done for Israel. And he was talking about them going through the wilderness. And he said this, "You also gave," listen, "your good spirit." Somebody said, "The Holy Spirit is a good spirit." He said, "You also gave your good spirit to what?" To instruct them. To instruct them. "And did not withhold your manna from their mouth, and gave them water for their thirst." Are you thirsty today? He'll give you water for your thirst. Are you hungry today? The Holy Spirit will give, listen, he will give you food for your hunger. Jesus said, "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled." So you have to have a personal hunger for him. I can't give you a hunger. You have to hunger for him. But he said that he gave his good spirit to instruct them, so that they would prosper, so that they would have skill, they would have success. But if you read on, listen, the Bible says they rebelled. They threw the law of God aside. In essence, "I don't want the Holy Spirit teaching me." And you have some Christians with that mindset today. Get that mindset out of your mind that you don't want the Holy Spirit teaching you. We need the Holy Spirit to teach us. I said we need the Holy Spirit to teach us. To teach us how to live godly lives, amen, before this ungodly world. We need it. We need him teaching us. Not only do we need him teaching us, but he will also lead us. Somebody say, "Lead us."
Yes.
He leads us. He leads us. John chapter 16 and verse 13. The Bible says this: "However, when he," the Spirit of truth, "has come, he will" what? "He will guide you into" what? "Into some truth." Into most truth. No, he will guide us into all truth, for he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come. So we need to be reacquainted with him. Listen, because there are many spirits out in the world saying many things. One of the major spirits is there are many ways to God. You better watch that. I heard a popular talk show host, she said there are many ways to God. And she's very influential and very rich. And you know how many people took that and said there are many ways? There's not many ways to God. The Holy Spirit will not tell you there's many ways to God. Jesus said in John 14:6 that, listen, that "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man can come to the Father except by me." The Holy Spirit will not tell you there's many ways to God. Amen. That's another spirit. That's another gospel. That's another Jesus. Hello, somebody. Oh, Lord. Amen. He leads us. He leads us to the cross. He'll lead us to the Christ. He will not lead you to another. We need to know this. I'm telling you, there are many spirits in the world. We don't have time to tap into it, but the Bible talks about how that Jesus, he cast out evil spirits. He dealt with deaf and dumb spirits. He dealt with spirits of infirmities. There's all kinds of spirits. Paul told Timothy that in the latter days that men will be given heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of demons. 1 John chapter 2 said, listen, "Beloved, believe not every spirit, but you try the spirit to see whether that spirit is from God." He says, "For many false prophets have gone out into the world and have deceived many." So when it's the Holy Spirit, he will all, listen, he'll always lead you to Jesus, never to another. Never, never to another. Hallelujah. Amen. He teaches us. He leads us. Somebody say he teaches us. Somebody say he leads us. Then listen, he also prays for us. Oh, he prays for us. Check this out. Romans chapter 8 and verse 26. The Bible says, likewise, the Spirit also, what he does? The Spirit does what? The Spirit helps in our weaknesses. See, there's an advantage to our disadvantages. My God. For we do not know what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself makes intercessions for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Now he who searches the heart knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he makes intercessions for the saints according to the will of God. Now this particular word helps here. It's a triple compound word, and I'm not going to mess it up. I'm not going to even try to pronounce it. I'm just going to tell you what it's all about, amen? But it's a triple compound word, and this word helps is only found twice in the Bible. It's found here in the book of Romans chapter 8 and 26, and it's found in the book of Luke chapter 10 verse 40, when Jesus went to Bethany into the house of Mary and Martha, and Martha was encumbered about with many things, and Martha said, Lord, please tell my sister to help me. So that's the same word in the book of Luke, chapter 10 and verse 40. It's the same word, help, here in Romans chapter 8, 26. Now, this word in the Greek, it means, listen, that he comes to the aid of another, helping them to bear the load, but not taking the load from them. In essence, the Holy Spirit, he takes the whole together with us. That which is opposite to us comes alongside of us and helps us. Oh, Lord. Can I say that again? I said the Holy Spirit, when we don't know what to pray, he don't pray for us. We got to pray before he can start praying through us. Amen. But see, the Holy Spirit, listen, he takes a hold together with us. That which is opposite to us, there's some things that oppose us, amen? We wrestle not against flesh and blood. And then he comes alongside of us to strengthen us and to help us. Oh, this is good stuff, man. This is good stuff. He's the helper. He helps us. He helps us to pray. He helps us pagah, or to strike the mark with God. He helps us. It says with groanings. Now, if you read this particular chapter, there are three groanings. You'll find it in this chapter, three groanings. There's the groaning of nature. There's the groaning of the believer. And then there's the groanings of the Holy Spirit. All of the groanings are silent. That's why it talks about how that, listen, we can't even articulate what we need to pray about. Hello, somebody. There's some groanings in this house. There's some folks groaning this morning. Let me say that again. I said there's some folks groaning this morning. Don't know what to say. Don't know how to say it. I'm in a squeeze. Don't know how to get out of it. There's some groanings this morning. But the helper, somebody say the helper, takes a hold together with us. That which is opposite to us steps in on the inside and helps us.
Thank you, Jesus.
Yes. Oh!
Thank you, Lord.
He helps us to pray. He helps us to pray. It says that he searches. Now, he who searches the heart. It's not the believer searching his heart. It's God searching the heart or the mind of the Holy Spirit. Because we can't search his heart, really. Who has known the mind of the Lord and who has been his instructor? So it takes God to search the Holy Spirit, and he helps us. He hits the mark. Amen. He also communes with us. He communes with us. So he teaches us. He leads us. He prays for us and through us. And then he what? He communes with us. He what? He communes. He communes with us. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 13. It says this. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the what? The communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen. I'm talking about, listen, we need a fresh encounter. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. We can have a fresh encounter. Look to your neighbor, tell your neighbor, neighbor, you can have a fresh encounter with the Holy Spirit. Amen. He communes with us. Now, this word commune is the Greek word koinonia. I checked it out, studied it out, and listen, it means this, that he communes with us. In essence, he's in participation with us. Somebody say the Holy Spirit participates with us. Then it also means partnership. He partners with us. Somebody say the Holy Spirit partners with us. Also, social intercourse. Now, some of us don't want him to be socially involved with us, but he's involved anyway. Social intercourse. When you go to that party, he's there too. My God. Not only that, listen, contribution and distribution. He contributes and he distributes. And also it carries or it connotes communication. He communes with us. We need a fresh encounter. I need a fresh touch. I don't know about you, but I need a fresh touch, man. Amen. Speaking of a fresh touch, on Wednesdays, the staff is, we're fasting and we're praying on Wednesdays from 12 to 1 o'clock. If you can make it out during your lunch period or what have you, to make it on in here and do some praying and do some fasting, man, I'm telling you, God is doing some wonderful things on Wednesdays. So we're fasting and we're praying on Wednesdays. Come on in. We want to tap into that fresh touch of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So he communes with us. Number five, he testifies. He testifies of Jesus. Amen. John chapter 15 and verse 26. The Bible says, when the helper comes, whom I shall send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, there's that Spirit of truth again, who proceeds from the Father, he will do what? He will testify of me. I just want to say this, that beloved, we don't have to be deceived. If I'm deceived, it's because I want to be deceived. Let me say it again. I said, we don't have to be deceived. I said, if we are deceived as believers, it's because we want to be deceived. Because John mentions three times about the Spirit of truth. If you want to be deceived, you just want to be deceived. Really, that's one of the major weapons of the enemy is deception today. And it's going to be one of his major weapons in the end times is deception. The Bible says that he deceives nations. So we know if the enemy can deceive a nation, he can deceive an individual. But if we have the Holy Spirit and we're communing with him, we don't have to be deceived. Amen. He testifies of Jesus. In essence, he's a witness to, and he bears record. He witnesses and he bears record of Jesus. And last but not, number six, he glorifies Jesus. He does what? He holds Jesus in high esteem. He glorifies Jesus. John 16, 14, the Bible says, he will glorify me, that is the Holy Spirit, for he will take of what is mine and declare it unto you. But you need to read, if you get a chance, take some time out and read John chapter 14, 15, and 16. That's some great stuff in there. But he will glorify me. In essence, he holds Jesus in high esteem. He holds Jesus in high esteem. He'll never testify of himself. He'll honor Christ. He'll magnify Christ. Paul says that no one can say by the Holy Spirit that Jesus is Lord. No one can say that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. Except by the Holy Spirit that he is Lord. And last but not least, he works miracles. He does what? He'll work what? He'll work miracles. As a matter of fact, can we pray? There's this young man named Chris. This young man named Chris had an accident this weekend, and I believe that he's still in the hospital today. Am I right about it? We want to believe the Holy Spirit to work a miracle. Somebody say, Holy Spirit, work a miracle. Let us pray. Father, in Jesus' name, just begin to pray and intercede for Chris. Father, in Jesus' name. Somebody say, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Jesus, oh, step in his hospital room, Lord. Step in his hospital room, God. Bring him out of that coma, God. In Jesus' name, step in, Jesus. Somebody say, step in, Jesus. Work a miracle, Lord. Work a miracle. We send the word to Chris, and we say, come alive in Jesus' name. Come back to us. We speak to your spirit man, Chris. Come back to us in the name of Jesus Christ. Show your mercy, oh God. Show your grace. Work a miracle. Astound the doctors. Astound his parents, oh God. We say, oh God. We say, oh God. We cry out for Chris, God. Oh God, bring him out in Jesus' name. Bring him out. Touch him by your power. Touch him by your might. Amen. You're the resurrected Christ. You know how to resurrect. You know how to give life. We're asking that you'll give life to young Chris. Give him life. Give him life, God. Give him life. Somebody say miracles. Somebody say miracles. Say it with authority. Miracles. Miracles. Miracles in the midst. Somebody say miracles in the midst. Miracles. God, work miracles. The Holy Spirit, he works miracles. He works, he's a sign and a wonder. He works miracles. He works, he can bring that child home. He can take that young man off a drug, that young woman off of drugs. He can work. Somebody say, work a miracle. Somebody say, miracles, miracles, miracles. In the name of Jesus Christ, miracles, miracles, miracles. We thank you, oh God, that the Holy Spirit will abide with us forever. He will abide with us forever. We just want to flow with him. We want to know where he's going so we can get into his flow. We just thank you and we praise you, oh God. We magnify you. We bless you, God. Can we just lift our hands and just bless the Lord for a little bit? Hallelujah. Pastor Tim, can you come forward? We just thank you, God.